Briefly, before we read the psalm, I give to you an outline of the psalm in the context and the historical circumstances of the psalm number 44, or perhaps during the time when Sennacherib was the king of Assyria. And we went through the various sections of the psalm, explaining to you and reminding you of what it meant concerning the people who were the Lord's people in that day, and how it was for them to reflect upon the past and what God had done in verse 1 and so on, then to recognize how it was with them now, and to realize as well and to see that the problem in verses 17 down through to verse 22, the problem really was the human heart and its tendency to wander, even in the most subtle way, from the Lord. And then there was the plea in verse 25 to the end. And in the context there in those days, these words in verse 20 and 21 were very applicable to them as they are to Christians today. I would be very naive as a minister to say that Christians do not forget the name of the Lord, and because evidence shows that by behavior and by lifestyle and so on, it is easy enough to see that a believer can forget the one who saved him and start living for self and to stretch out their hands, as we mentioned earlier on, towards strange gods. But it says in verse 21 that, "Shall not God search this out?" And that's a solemn thought for me, because I have to be honest with myself and before the Lord and know that he will search out, and there's nothing that I can hide from him, because it says, "For he knoweth the secrets of the heart." This was a good time for them to say those words when there was peril and the feeling of the absence of God's blessing in the manifest way that they wanted to experience it. And in these verses, there really is a confessing of their own weakness, tendency to wonder, and an acknowledging that God is aware of all of it. And surely that would be enough to prompt them to pray, as they did in verses 23 down to the end of the chapter. Pray to the Lord to come and to arise for their help. And that really would be the psalm in its context. But as we look at verses 20 and 21 this evening, I want to use the words and to look at them in a way that will challenge the hearts of unsaved people. Look back over the months and the opportunities, and for many people in our own land here, it seems that the relevance of what James said in chapter 4 and verse 14 of his book doesn't mean very much. Where he said there, he asked a question and he also answered it. He said, "For what is your life? It is a vapor that appeareth for a little time, then vanisheth away." Speaking of life's brittleness, because vapor is something which seems to be solid and yet you can never grasp it. And also life's brevity, and vapor can be here the moment, for a moment, and then when the sun comes out, suddenly it is gone. We're very serious and solemn words that James said. Your life is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, then vanisheth away. But it seems that, unfortunately, that kind of thinking has not been the thinking of so many. I was looking just the other day on the internet where it was mentioning some of the well-known people who, I can't remember the exact wording, but it was something like this. It said, "Stars who passed away and no one noticed." Stars who passed away, and perhaps lesser-known characters who had died and no one noticed. And they proved the truth of James 4 and 14. They proved the truth that life really is just like a vapor. And like so many others of the world's best known as we could term them tonight. Many people are remembered for their infamous lives, remembered for how they lived in debauchery and shame and in sin. And indeed, they have gone just like vapor. The world has just been a playground where it seems that there's no one to answer to, and certainly nothing to fear as far as tomorrow is concerned. And every avenue before so many tonight doesn't seem to have any end. It seems that the only counselor you need is your own heart, and as long as you have a desire to do what pleases you, well, that's all that you need to think about. Job in chapter 7, we're reminded there, again, it says, "My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle." And I've actually had occasion to be in a carpet mill and to watch the shuttles on the big weaving machines in the carpet mills and how they're moving so quickly as they weave the carpet together there. And Job says, "My life is just like that. It's like a weaver's shuttle, here today and gone tomorrow." Christians must live today and can live useful and happy and blessed lives. But Christians have prepared for eternity, and they are saved, and they are secure in the Lord Jesus Christ. But again, at the end of another year, I think of these words, and well, I suppose in verse 21 in particular, it says, "Shall not God search this out? For he knoweth the secrets of the heart." And when we apply these words to the unconverted, so many have forgotten the name of God and stretched out their hands continually to other gods, or even doing it tonight. And there has been that sin of omission. So many folks had opportunities in my family and in yours too. And you prayed for them, and so did I. And we're glad to be able to say that, whether it was here in this congregation or somewhere else, over the period of the year, many of them come under the word at least once. And they heard the gospel, and they knew where their responsibility lay, and yet they omitted to repent of their sin. And again tonight we say that there will never be a better time than now for dealing with omission. And it needs to be dealt with now. And as I look at these words, I see that it needs to be dealt with for several reasons. It needs to be dealt with, this sin of omission needs to be dealt with, because there is what I have called a universal search. A universal search. Whenever Job, it says here, of course, "Shall not God search this out?" And he searches out every heart. And I think over in the book of Job, it was put very well in chapter 31. Where it says there, "What then shall I do?" This is chapter 31, verse 14. "What then shall I do when God riseth up, when he visiteth? What shall I answer him? When he rise up, when he visiteth, what shall I answer him?" The word "answer" there is quite an interesting word. It literally means, it refers to giving an account in the case of an inquiry. Giving an account in the case of an inquiry, or even a stronger meaning would be giving an account when under interrogation. Supposing something terrible had been committed in Ackley area, and a man was arrested and suspected of being guilty for the crime, whatever it happened to be. Well, when he was questioned, he would have to give his account. And he'd be given his account in that inquiry or under interrogation. And that is what it is saying to us here in Job chapter 31. "What then shall I do when God riseth up, and when he visiteth, what shall I answer him when I am inquired of?" Or I am, well, I'll not use the word interrogation. I could use the word when I am confronted by the word. Confronted by the word. What shall I answer? Every Christian, as we said, has a good future. However things may be now, your future is bright, Christian. And one day, we will be with the Lord, and there won't be any more problems. And it says over there in the book of Revelation, in chapter 6, and verse 9, "And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held." There are people whose suffering is over, and that shows us their future. But you know something? The Bible teaches us that it is appointed unto men once to die. We've read about them in Revelation chapter 6. Those that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony that they bore, that they held. But there's also a judgment for those who do not know the Lord. There's a judgment for those who have never come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when the unconverted person dies, as they surely will, they will give an answer. They will give an answer. And it will be like an inquiry or like an interrogation. And the questioning will go something like this: what did you do with Jesus Christ and your opportunity to come to him? Simple as that. What did you do with him? Did you receive him? Or did you turn him away? And across the province tonight, there are other men standing just like me, and they're trying to preach the word in a way to convince men and women that God does rise up. And he rises up even in meetings and searches out men's hearts. He comes, it says, "And when he visiteth," what shall I answer him? We speak about people being troubled in meetings. Troubled because they're confronted with the state of their heart and how it is between them and God, and how they need to give time to repentance and room to repentance, and they need to repent of their sin and come to the Lord. And for another year, I firmly believe that there has been this universal searching in our meetings here. Yes, we've had the unsaved in, especially when we've had our friends and family nights, our harvest meetings, our special Children's Day service, and that kind of meeting. We've had them in. And we believe that God has searched them out. And he searched their heart. And as we read over there in the psalm, it says, "Shall not God search us out? For he knoweth the secrets of the heart." There's nothing hidden from him. Over in the book of Daniel, and chapter 4, we read the words in verse 29. Daniel chapter 4, verse 29, says, "At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king," this is Nebuchadnezzar, "the king spake and said, is not the great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee, and they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and 7 times shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and give it to whomsoever he will. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men, and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird's claws." What are we seeing here? We're seeing that God comes along, and in mercy he deals with men, and softly and tenderly he pleads with men as he searches out their heart and shows them their sin. And they don't repent. Then he deals with them in another way. He deals with them in another way. And I can assure you tonight that when we're praying for the unsaved that we know of connected with the congregation here, we pray that God will continue to plead softly and tenderly. But every year we hear of cases where God has dealt softly and tenderly and patiently, and then he stepped in and he changed the circumstances of hard hearts, and he broke men down, as he did with Nebuchadnezzar, a man who was so full of himself. Three or four verses down, he's out eating grass and he's behaving like an animal. And God took him and he broke him down. And tonight, the last Sunday night in 2019, God still searches out the hearts of men. You've been praying for some today, so have I. Says there in 1 Chronicles 28, verse 9, "And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts, and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever." Those are very solemn words when we take them and apply them to those who are witness to, who listen to preaching, and whom God has searched out their hearts time and again, and shown them their sin and shown them their need, and still there has been that sin of omission. Whatever men have done, they stop short of repentance. And it says there, if you forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Remember, it says there as well that he searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. That's a solemn thought as we come to the end of this year, that there is a God with whom we have to do, and he searches hearts. And as he searches hearts, he sees the sin of omission. He sees men rejecting him. They won't repent because they love their sin, and they don't want to turn from it. And the year is slipping away, and with it all the opportunity that God has given. This is dealing with omission now, because there is this universal search. Don't think, unsaved person, there's anything hid from the Lord. It says there in the Psalm 44, it says, "For he knoweth the secrets of the heart." But there's another reason why men ought to deal with this omission now. Not because, only because of the universal searching that God does, but because of God's unique knowledge. God's unique knowledge. It says there, he knoweth the secrets of the heart. The thought there with the word knoweth is to know as no one else does. And therefore, when the Lord looks in to our heart, he sees it as no one else does. And while there may be some degree of overlap of what we just said here with God searching out our hearts, we can rest assured that he knows, well, he knows about the excuses that men use and how lame they are. He knows about the rejecting of Christ and why that has happened time and time and time again. And I don't know the mind of the Lord, but I know this, that every time that the gospel is preached, he is here. And men in their sin ought to understand that they're dealing not just with the preacher, we're just message boys, but they're dealing with one with unique knowledge who knows all about them. And you know something, when I think of that, you're dealing with one who knows when that life will disappear just like the vapor, and all the opportunities will be gone. And that says to me to deal very carefully with God's mercy. And as Christ stretched out his arms tonight and says to the unsaved, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden," and let's just stop for a moment and look back. That's what sinners have done in 2019. Labored under the burden of sin, because they couldn't shake it off. Christ says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light." That is still the offer of the Lord. And he, in his authority tonight, as he visits, and he looks to meetings like this, and he looks into the heart, and he knows all about the men and women that are there. He calls out, as he did to Adam and Eve long ago. Do you remember he called out them and he said, "Where art thou?" We're not foolish enough to think that God didn't know where they were. But he wanted to speak to their hearts. And he called to them in love in order that he might show mercy and love toward them. That was the call of love in the garden. There's still that call of love tonight. He calls out to you who's turned your back on him for 2019. He calls out to you and says, "Where art thou?" In order that you might turn to him. In order that you might seek him tonight while he is to be found. I'm always finding verses in the book of Job that are amazing and that are so relevant even in gospel meetings. It says there in chapter 36 of Job in verse 18, "Because there is wrath, beware, lest he take thee away with a stroke, and a great ransom cannot deliver thee." Now, what is a great ransom? I noted the other day on a website, someone up on one of the moors thereabouts had lost a lovely little dog. It was a cocker spaniel, and it looked really good, and they had just upped the reward for the return of that dog to £3,000, which in my opinion was a lot for it. And if you had it in a lead and was stretching out in front of you, you wouldn't give £3 for it. But £3,000, that is a great, you could call it a ransom. That's the price. They'll pay that ransom if someone would give the dog back. I read another incident this past week where a dog had been returned. A dog had been returned, and the money that exchanged hands there, it said that there'd be no more about it. They just wanted the dog back, and they gave £1,000. Someone had stolen it. And here it says to us, a great ransom. What is a great ransom? Well, the great ransom here, there's only one great ransom, and that's the price that was paid at the cross for the redemption of men and women. And there's a great redemption because of the one who paid it. It was the Lamb of God. It's a great ransom because God's righteous indignation was appeased in the death of his Son. It's a great ransom because it is for all who will come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a great ransom because there was only one payment of it. This is a great ransom. This is the ransom that I have relied upon, and that every other Christian here has relied upon. But as God in his unique knowledge tonight visits and looks into your heart, the word visit there, it carries the thought of inspecting, as you would in a group of people, let's say a school inspection. Sometimes we've been speaking to people who work in teaching, and they've been really stressed out because it's going to be a really big school inspection. And they leave no stone unturned. They know what to look for, and you try to prepare for it, but you're always apprehensive that they'll, what have we forgotten about? What have we overlooked? Because they'll overlook nothing. Because they know exactly what they're looking for, and that's how it is with the Lord and his unique knowledge. He's looking at your heart tonight to see if it is washed or if it is still in sin. Still in sin. And here's the ransom. The Lord Jesus Christ. But it says there, "Because there is wrath, beware lest he take thee away with a stroke." You see, when wrath comes, it delivers you to a place of no deliverance. Delivers you to a place of no deliverance. And I say this tonight not to frighten anyone, but during the past year, there are people who've had their opportunities, lots of them, and they've no more opportunities because the opportunities have gone. Unsafe person, you need to come now. You need to come and trust him now. Deal with this sin of omission now for your eternal good. Deal with it now. You need to deal with it now because of the universal search, because of God's unique knowledge, But because of God's unchangeableness, sometimes when you're dealing with people, you can go and try and strike a bargain with them. And maybe they won't budge. You're trying to buy a car and they're saying no. And you go along there and Caleb goes along and he says, well, I want that Volkswagen Golf, but he offers the man about half of what he's looking for it. And the boy said, no, thank you. Then it stays on the internet for another few weeks, and Caleb goes back again and says, listen, what if I give you a little bit more than that? The man may start to negotiate and say, well, I'll come down a bit, but you're going to have to come up a little more, and they will have that negotiation until a deal is struck. Well, not when you're dealing with the Lord. Because when you're dealing with the Lord, you're dealing with someone who is unchangeable. In Psalm 11 and Psalm 45 and Isaiah chapter 6 in the book of Revelation refers continually to God sitting on his throne. And in very many cases, that referring to him sitting on his throne refers to his unchangeableness. Now, that's not hardness. That is being just and in love and in fairness. And tonight, while so many places in the Bible bring us to the Lord Jesus Christ and show us how we can find peace and rest in him tonight, while there's so much of that, we turn to the Word of God, and it tells us, as we mentioned the other week, that God is angry with the wicked every day. Every day. Because it cannot look upon sin and be anything other than angry. And when he looks into our heart tonight, searches, then there's his knowledge, and then there's the fact that he hasn't changed. That means that the wrath of God abides upon you, unsaved person. The wrath of God abides upon you. And people tonight, and this is a frightening thing, and maybe you come into this category, people are settled in their sin. They're settled in their sin. Again, I read the words over there in the book of Job 31. It says, What then shall I do? When God riseth up, and when he visiteth, what shall I answer him? Mark this tonight, unsafe person. He doesn't change. Yes, you may be able to barter for the car, but you can't barter with him. His call tonight is very clear to men. It's a call to repentance, to turn right around and leave your sin behind. And you know what my great fear is, and the fear of, I know, other people in the congregation too, that over the years, some people we love greatly, they've just become settled in sin. They've become settled down in sin. And now, any of my relatives that know me will know that I wouldn't wish ill on any of them. And I would wish them happiness and comfort and domestic happiness and all of those things. But what if God stops dealing softly and tenderly and deals the way he did with Nebuchadnezzar? And even though he seemed to be immovable, God just broke him down overnight. He was the king singing his own praises today, and then tomorrow he's out eating grass. People play around with God's offer of mercy. And it's been another year of omission as they have rejected him time and time again. But this psalm shows us the need to deal with that omission now. Because of God's universal search, because of his unique knowledge, and because he is unchangeable. Shall not God search this out? For he knoweth the secrets of the heart. I trust you'll come to him tonight if you haven't done that yet. And even as you go on towards the end of the year, that you will enter the year with the Savior, having trusted him, being saved and washed in the blood of Christ, and knowing what it is to be truly born again, changed, transformed, and to be on that narrow way that leads to heaven and to home. I trust the Lord will bless his word to all who listen to it here tonight. and who listen to it on sermon audio as well.